Good afternoon. My name is Jim Rutherford. I'm the health officer here at Kalamazoo County Public Health Department. To my left is Dr. Will Nettleton. He's a medical officer of the Kalamazoo County Public Health Department. This is Sheriff Rick Fuller and our county board chairman, Julie Rogers. We're here for two specific reasons this afternoon. First of all, we're announcing the fact that as of late last night, we have three confirmed cases of COVID-19 within our community. We also want to discuss the most recent executive order from the governor's office that was announced at 11 a.m. this morning. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the governor's executive order, and Dr. Nettleton will discuss the three confirmed cases in a few moments. So effective tonight at midnight, the governor has ordered a shelter-in-place mandate. This is an order. It's not a recommendation. Kalamazoo County residents need to stay at home as much as you can. You will still be able to get food supplies, gas, pharmaceuticals, and other essential items. Keep yourself away from others. Remember the 6-foot rule. Wash your hands. Practice good personal hygiene. Keep your hands away from your face. It's imperative that we follow the governor's orders. We have to adhere to the requirements of the order, which will be in place for at least the next 3 weeks. Businesses, please adhere to the executive order. You need to close if you're not providing essential services or essential supplies that directly impact public health and safety. Residents, don't hoard food and other supplies that have been in demand. Our supply system is stable. Now I'm going to have Dr. Nettleton talk a little bit about provide a medical update as relates to the three cases, as well as some public health issues and some considerations. Will?
Thank you, Jim. As a parent and a family doctor, it's important, I believe, to acknowledge the justified concern our community has regarding COVID-19 disease. Three adult Kalamazoo County residents have tested positive for the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19 disease. Two individuals have a travel history within the state of Michigan. One individual does not have a travel history outside of Kalamazoo County. All residents are medically stable, and one is currently hospitalized. All presented with known COVID-19 symptoms, such as shortness of breath, fever, or cough. So what is Kalamazoo County Health and Community Services Department doing at this time? We have conducted an investigation to identify those who were in close contact or spent prolonged time with these individuals, and we have made public health recommendations to avoid the spread to others. All have followed recommended healthcare professional and public health instructions and as well as recommendations. Kalamazoo County Health and Community Services Department is working closely with our community partners and our health systems on a unified pandemic response. This is a critical time for the health of our county and our community. The decisions you make right now as an individual impacts the health of our entire community. We need to work together to protect the most vulnerable in our community and also to protect our healthcare systems and workforce. Although older adults and those with underlying medical conditions are most at risk for developing severe disease, COVID-19 can impact and affect everyone, and therefore affects our entire healthcare system. Call your doctor before walking into clinic. If available, use telehealth or a phone consultation with your doctor. Only call 911 or go to the emergency department if there is an emergency, such as trouble breathing, chest pain or pressure, if your loved one is newly confused, or any other medical symptom that your doctor or healthcare professional indicates requires immediate medical attention. At this time, I'm going to transition to an update from Sheriff Rick Fuller.
Thank you, Doctor. So there's a couple reasons I'm here in front of you today. One of the reasons is the update referenced the three cases here in Kalamazoo County. I wanted to let you know that one of the infected persons
is a deputy with the Kalamazoo County Sheriff's Office. That person is receiving medical treatment right now and is recovering right now as we speak. We've gone through an investigation to make sure that we could identify where and who all might be infected by having our deputy with this virus. The investigation has shown us that anybody that has potentially been infected has put in quarantine, and mainly it is family and close connections, and it is not the general public. I want to convey to you that it is not the general public. I also want you to understand that things are changing rapidly in our area. So we're going to hear more cases like this. But I want you to understand that law enforcement have been faced with this across the nation. They've been receiving the treatment they're supposed to receive. They're going back home to their families for the most part. And they have not transmitted this into the community. When we talk about some of those things, there's other things I need you to know. When we talk about social distancing, I think too many people have not understood what that meant. What that means, and what I want you to understand, is that means one trip to the store for one person per family a week. That's the best we can do our social distancing. Don't continue to gather in parties or groups at homes. We need to take this very seriously, because this virus that we're dealing with is moving rapidly, and we want to do everything we can to keep people safe. You can't see it, but in this room right now, all of the reporters are separated by a great distance. All of the guests that are in the room are separated by a great distance, and we're making sure that we're doing what our part is. Emergency traffic on the roads is preferred. We want to make sure that people are only going out to get their medications, and again, preferably one person per household. There is a lot of issues becoming apparent to us about the wipes. You know, we're using a lot of alcohol wipes right now, and that's a good thing. But where we're putting them is in the toilets. Stop putting these in the toilets. The wipes need to go in the trash cans. We want to make sure we're doing everything we can to protect our infrastructure. And that's one thing we can do to help protect our infrastructure. Don't hoard food. Again, when we talk about that one trip per family once a week to the store, make it things that you need for that week. This is hard. And a lot of people are going to say that they're going to do more than that. Ideally, we can all work together. As we've said over and over, our food chain is a robust food chain. We have a good supply system. We have a good supply of food. We grow our own food in this country. We make our own food. In fact, again, just today, because we're down the street from a bread factory, I smelled the wonderful smells of fresh baked bread. So they're making bread. They're making toilet paper, not the same factory. They're making food, and they're bringing it to stores. So people, please work with one another. Check in on each other by using your phones, by Skyping, by paying attention to one another. I want you to also know that we've worked with public health in regards to our deputy and making sure that all the best practices have been put in place. And so I want you to call the police when you need the police. I want you to call for emergency assistance when you have an emergency. And I want you to remember that we have already made it clear to law enforcement officials that we're trying to do essential services. So if we find somebody who has a warrant for a non-violent crime, somebody that has a warrant for child support right now, somebody that has a warrant for not paying their dog license, they're not going to jail right now. We've reduced the jail populations throughout the state of Michigan appropriately with court cooperations. But that doesn't mean that if somebody's not doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, that they won't go to jail. That's the farthest from that. They'll still go to jail. So we want people to understand, pay attention, work together, try to stay as Team Kalamazoo, because we are strong and we will work together. I'm going to turn it back over to Jim Rutherford now.
Thank you, Sheriff Fuller. So just some closing remarks before we open it up to questions.
this virus is in our community. We've been telling you that it most likely was in our community before a verification of these three confirmed cases. Treat it seriously. Acknowledge that it's here and adhere to the executive orders. These are going to be a tough couple of weeks. What we've seen in other parts of the state, particularly on the east side of the state, is it growing very rapidly. We're going to anticipate that in Kalamazoo, and we're prepared for that. We're going to see more cases, and it's going to grow potentially exponentially. This infection is impacting all age groups. Don't rely on information that's 2 weeks old. This is impacting children, and it's impacting adolescents. We know that this is going to pass, and we're going to survive. My comments to you are, be good to each other. Be kind. Safely check on each other's welfare. Accurate information is imperative. Behind me are three websites that give you state, local, and federal information. I implore you to get good information and don't spread information that you don't know is valid. It's important at this point in time that we focus on some good things that are happening as we progress through this world-changing event. New cases in countries that are ahead of us, such as China, have dropped dramatically. The vast majority of early diagnosed cases are recovering. Communities that have practiced and put into place the recommendations that we've been talking about have experienced improvement. They've experienced less transmission and ultimately less deaths. We're improving the ability to test more people every day through our private labs and our hospitals. Public health is staying here for you, and we're going to continue to work until we're done with this. We want you to remember, stay home, stay safe, save lives. So with that, we're going to open it up to any questions that you have. We'd ask you to come and get the microphone. The microphone is up. Go ahead.
Okay. In response to the three people that have tested positive, you mentioned two have a travel history within the state of Michigan, one within the county. Is the deputy the one specifically, the person that was infected with the travel history within the county?
I don't think that information is going to impact public health decisions that have already been made. We have made specific recommendations for every individual who has been diagnosed with COVID-19 disease, and we've reached out individually to all of their known contacts and made recommendations for them either to monitor symptoms or to stay at home from work or their home responsibilities at this time. So that intervention has already occurred for all three individuals.
Okay. The deputy that is infected, do we know where he may have possibly, do we know where he possibly went to possibly infect others? There's a chance he did not know he had it before he was tested. So I'm just curious as to where he possibly
yes,
may have gone.
A community that has widespread transmission in East Michigan. So that and that's the east side of the state is experiencing widespread community transmission. That side of the state is where the person was most likely exposed.
Okay.
Do we have to speak? Oh, sorry. Yes, you can vote in.
Yes, I'm great. We're screening this, so that'll help.
Yep. Please.
Director Sheriff Fuller, in other states, like in Illinois, when they did the shelter in place, they actually started finding people who were out and about. What measures are you going to be taking, or will that even be a part of it as well? You know, finding people who are out in mass gatherings.
So we work closely with the health department, Jim Rutherford and his team, and when there are violations, those violations will be dealt with swiftly. We have the cooperation of the prosecutor's office. They made it very clear that they understand what it is we would be submitting for. They're prepared to help us in those matters. So people really need to take this seriously because, again, if we find violations, and by the way, we've been checking since last week for violations in any of these executive orders, and this just is another layer of that for us. And so the teams are being prepared to be able to make those reports and work in conjunction with the community health department here. Yeah.
Just want to provide a point of clarification for the last question.
For my question?
Yes. Okay. So oftentimes in public health, we will communicate publicly when there is a specific action item a group of people may need to take based on the exposure that we've determined through a public health investigation. So for example, you saw a public announcement about a venue that occurred in Berrien County at a concert. A known singer had diagnosed COVID-19 disease, and there was public communication to those who were at the event and in close contact with that individual. And that decision was made because there were specific actionable public health recommendations that could be made for that group of people. When there is non-specific information, when there's a general exposure, those decisions and those recommendations are made on an individual level. Does that help kind of clarify your question?
Sure, I understand. Okay. While you're up here, though, can you speak to the conditions of each of the patients?
All are medically stable. One is currently still hospitalized.
Do we know which one is hospitalized at the deputy?
That information we're not sharing at this time.
Okay.
I have another question for sure. Can you say anything more about the role of the deputy and just anything more without getting into private health information about what role this person had?
Sure. Let me try to help everybody understand that whenever there's a contamination or a person who has a virus like this, there's a process of investigation, like I mentioned earlier. What I can hopefully convey to you is that investigation's complete. Anyone that would have had contact that would have been of concern has been notified or they've been told to act appropriately according to the information. It's a very limited number of people, so limited that we talk about less than a half dozen. And so it's not like this person was out there interacting with the community at a great amount. And we are confident that our investigation is completed to the point where we fully understand where this person was, who they were involved with, and any actions they have taken.
And just kind of more or less a public announcement doesn't need to be made because all those people have been essentially contacted through the investigation privately?
That is correct. In fact, several hours have been spent in the last day to make sure that everybody that are reported to us by the deputy, the reports that we reviewed, the places where we knew the person was involved, all of that is complete.
Thank you. While you're up, how do you enforce the stay-at-home ban, and how do you determine what essential service is?
Well, one of the things about essential services I'm hoping people take very, very seriously. I'm hoping that there's not a business out there that's going to, for whatever reason, self-select themselves essential. I'm hoping that people are really paying attention that grocery stores are essential, pharmacies are essential. After that, it gets less essential in my mind. Of course, we need some gas stations, or we need gas stations. But what I'm trying to say is the governor's directive will be followed, and there will be a lot of conversation with her office as to what she's going to deem as essential, more than what I'm talking about right here. And it's going to change over time. You know, she talked about a three-week plan here. I'm going to tell you that at this time next week, we'll have a different directive that says more of this is going to be constricted. Because people need to follow these rules. And we may see areas where something extra has to be done because somebody has self-selected themselves as essential when they're not.
So then how will you, my second part of the question, enforce as an agency the stay-at-home ban?
Well, again, we're not enforcing a stay-at-home ban. We're enforcing to make sure that people follow that they're only going out for essential services. And so, of course, until it becomes a real problem, we're always going to let people travel, make sure they're getting to where they're supposed to be to get their essential services like groceries, like the pharmacy, a gas station to make sure they have gas to get to the pharmacy, those types of things. But once we start seeing that people are self-selecting other essential services, that's when more actions would have to be taken. And just like any law or rule of law that we would have to enforce, we will take the action. We will work with our prosecutor's office. We will work with the health department. And we will make sure that everybody's following the guidelines they're supposed to.
So the repercussions, do they look like fines or jail time? What
does it look like? According to the code, both exist. But, of course, in any law enforcement function, you don't start with arrest. You don't start with fines. You start with conversation. So there could be easily lots of conversations with businesses or groups that fell outside of the guidelines before there's any fines or before there's any arrest. There are avenues of taking those actions, but they are generally much later in these cases, and they are generally handled with the conversations first. Most people are going to go, I get it. and I'm going to comply. And then there's no further action needed.
Understood. Okay. How long has a deputy been under force?
Oh, so I never speak of personnel issues, and this is one of them.
Okay. All right.
This is for Dr. Nettleton.
Perfect.
So you had mentioned that children are becoming, or children are impacted not to pay attention to information from 2 weeks ago. We were being told previously, if you feel like you have these symptoms, but you're younger, you don't really need to see a doctor, save that in-person visit for someone who is older and more vulnerable. Now we're learning everyone may be just equally vulnerable in some regard. How is that going to pan out with the limited number of testing kits? And if, you know, I'm 22 years old, if I don't feel well, or if I have a 12-year-old who doesn't feel well, should they still be going and seeking out a test while they're so older people need that?
Excellent question. So there are two levels there. So there's one is the question about who is most susceptible to disease, and then there's the overall larger question about testing. So I'll kind of take those two separately. And the third is how this impacts our healthcare workforce. So in general, we want folks who have mild disease, who aren't feeling very ill, and I want that decision should be made with your doctor or over the telephone. But if you are mildly ill, avoiding the healthcare system and the healthcare clinic at this time reduces the burden on our healthcare system overall. And it reduces the potential exposures also to our healthcare workforce. So yes, older adults and those with underlying medical conditions are more at risk for severe disease. Folks who are younger may be more likely to have less severe disease, but folks engaging the healthcare system when they don't need to be, when they can be resting at home, will reduce that strain on our overall health system. Second part is regarding testing. It's been very challenging and also very frustrating to increase the testing. We need more testing in our state, in our community. And there are two rate determining steps there. One is that there's a current lack of the supplies, the actual swabs to perform the test. And second, there is lack of diagnostic laboratories to then perform the test. And there's three different types of laboratories. One, there is a commercial laboratory or private laboratory that is sent out. Two, there is a hospital laboratory to conduct the test inside the hospital. And three, there is the state public health laboratory. As we've all experienced in the last several weeks, there's just been a lack of capacity on all three of those levels. Therefore, the state public health laboratory created a prioritized list of people that we would say, we really want to know the result of that test, because that test result impacts a wide number of people and informs critical public health decisions. And that is why the state of Michigan came out with those prioritized criteria if the state public health laboratory were to be used. In our community in the state, we have momentum moving forward for increasing the labs within the hospital and also using those outside laboratories. And so every day I think we're making strides, but we're still not at a point where we need to be with regards to testing, but the momentum is there.
When do you think we will be there? Can you put a number on it? I mean, have the tests doubled? Are they? Because now we know that the increase in need is more significant now that we're grouping younger individuals into this. So have the requests for tests increased with that?
There's a couple different layers there as well. And as you pointed out, there is a rapidly changing situation. So I know the state public health laboratory has drastically increased the amount that they are performing now at the state public health lab, and hopefully that bottleneck starts to come down. I would defer to our local health systems to give the most up-to-date information about their current laboratory capacity. We in the public health department are in close contact with our local healthcare systems about the status of where they are at, and we are continually to see those updates happening. I know that there are increases of those commercial laboratory tests happening in our community at this time, but there's momentum going there.
So we're in communication on a daily basis with our healthcare systems. To that end, the three positives that were confirmed were actually performed in a private lab. So that capability is expanding out, and we will anticipate and see more positives in the community as we test more individuals.
To follow up on that, is there any factor or factors that you can say here in our county, is there like some factor why the local hospital didn't get testing up as quick as possible? Is there any, what lagged that?
So we know that we've experienced some challenges as it relates to the number of samples that we've been able to process. There's larger health systems on the east side of the state that were up and ready to go sooner than others. There's FDA compliance issues, there's software, there's instrumentation that has to be implemented within the health systems. Communication with one of our health systems identified that by the end of the week, they'll probably have their own lab internally that's up and running. Again, we've been able to work in unison with our state partners, our health systems, to be able to increase the amount of samples that are taken. But we continue to remind residents that it's here, it's prevalent, and conduct your lives knowing that.
Quick follow-up. Is there any discussion of the drive-through testing? You've seen some other places coming to our area?
Our healthcare systems are actively working on drive-by systems. I believe some may actually be available in Kalamazoo County. And there are different methodologies that can be used for a drive-by. The important thing to remember is oftentimes it is a collection. A collection needs to happen, so it needs to be adequate supply. You need to have healthcare professionals who have the appropriate personal protective equipment to then collect the specimen. And then there needs to be a diagnostic laboratory that's available then to run the test. And so all those logistics have to be set for a particular healthcare system to then execute that service.
And is it that some of that stuff is still coming online, and the issue of supply, testing supplies or protective supplies, that is kind of causing it to not be available widespread in this area currently? Would that be
That is a fair and accurate assessment, both in terms of the laboratory supply, and that's probably the biggest bottleneck is the laboratory supply, as now that the diagnostic laboratories are becoming more available.
And Dr., we just identified the age range, if you can, of each infected individual.
At this time, my recommendation is that we characterize our county residents as adult or pediatric, and I refer folks to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services website. There is a very nice table that aggregates all of the COVID-19 cases in the state of Michigan, and it breaks it down by sex, by rate, by age, and also by current status of county as well. And that way, we can see the broader picture of who's being infected in our state, and also protects the health of our residents as well. I can say, I just want to reiterate, although the folks who are most affected are those of severe disease, or older, or underlying medical conditions, COVID-19 can indeed affect healthy individuals and young individuals as well. And that is a key message to share with our community. It's not just older folks and those underlying medical conditions. So it's really important for our community to take steps right now as an individual so you protect the health of others, and again, to protect our critical health infrastructure and workforce.
So we want to thank you all for attending today. If there's no further questions, then we are done. Thank you.